evaluate the property, walk through it. There's mm-hmm. I'm a licensed inspector in the state. I'd like to say guided, but I would say we are legislated to by the engineering board of the state. So there are definite steps we go through to make sure that we have our clients up to snuff on what they're about to purchase and maybe some of the details they didn't know about.
Cool. We're going to get into this in a little bit because I got some questions about this. But everybody who's ever made a purchase, business or residential, it's been in their best interest to have an inspection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the mortgage companies want one.
Oh, yeah.
So it needs to happen, and it gives you some advice as to how to even negotiate your final purchase.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
It was moving rapidly, so it was almost like we were trying to play catch-up a little bit.
Six people, including a firefighter, are being treated for minor injuries, including smoke inhalation, following a four-alarm fire in the Bronx this morning. That's Fire Chief Jay Jonas saying it broke out around 2:15 a.m. in the five-story apartment house in Morris Heights. Authorities in Phoenix are confirming three people are dead after a shooting and house fire there. Police say the suspect is down. Fire officials say two other people, including a 12-year-old girl, have been taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. Firefighters are still working to contain the blaze. President Obama will talk about his plan today to close the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay. The president has long desired to close Gitmo, calling it a recruitment poster for international terrorists. Obama faces considerable pushback from Republicans and Democrats. Donald Trump is expected to chalk up another victory tonight at the Nevada Republican caucuses. A recent CNN ORC international poll gives him a huge lead over his GOP rivals. You're listening to USA Radio News.
GEICO applauds your inner happy camper.
A merit badge of awesomeness goes out to the part of you that wants to put the recreation in recreational vehicle. The part of you that packs up everything and everybody in the RV and says, let's get this show on the road. Because GEICO has specialized agents who help save money on more than just car insurance. GEICO will insure that entire RV. Get the s'more making, poison ivy dodging, same song singing, ghost storytelling, campfire building, best time you ever had with your family, show on the road.
GEICO for your RV. See how much you could save.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive my owner had to give up half decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the GEICO Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit GEICO.com today.
The United States and Russia are setting a firm date for a ceasefire in Syria.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest says the ceasefire will start on February 27th.
There are millions of innocent lives in Syria that have been negatively affected by the ongoing chaos inside of Syria.
Earnest says it will allow for the delivery of urgently needed humanitarian supplies to besieged areas. In a statement, Secretary of State John Kerry also expressed the hope that the ceasefire may lead to a political transition in Syria. The U.S. has long called for the ouster of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, but Russia and Iran are backing Assad. I'm Melody Burkett.
Weather forecasters say strong tornadoes could tear across the Gulf Coast today. A powerful storm is likely to set off severe thunderstorms and dangerous tornadoes. The biggest threats are from New Orleans to Mobile, Alabama. Houston and Atlanta could also see tornadoes, but forecasters say there's less risk for those cities. Thunderstorms are expected to hit Texas this morning before hammering Louisiana shortly after noon, and those storms could move into Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida later in the day. You're listening to USA Radio News.
I'm a pair of designer shoes so expensive my owner had to give up half decaf skim vanilla lattes just to afford me. So you can imagine my terror when a pipe burst and the apartment started flooding. There I was, trapped in the closet, water rushing all around me. But what was I to do? I'm a 6-inch stiletto. It's not like I can run.
Your stuff can't protect itself. That's why the GEICO Insurance Agency helps make it easy to switch and save on renter's insurance. Renter's insurance will cover personal property loss or damage as well as provide liability protection. Visit GEICO.com today.
For decades, we've been told to avoid fat or use low-fat products, but that mindset has changed. Dr. Mark Hyman with the Cleveland Clinic says it's time to jump off the low-fat bandwagon.
Fat doesn't actually make you fat, and it doesn't cause heart disease. There's been troves of studies that prove that fact, that not all calories are the same. The fat calories actually help speed up metabolism, suppress appetite, cut cravings, and help you lose weight.
Dr. Hyman breaks fat down into three categories: bad, in-between, and good fat. Bad fat is trans fat and shouldn't be eaten because it's been linked to heart disease, obesity, dementia, type 2 diabetes, even cancer. In-between fat is saturated fat and refined omega-6 oils like vegetable, corn, and soybean oil, and good fats are omega-3 fats from fish, nuts, seeds, and olive oil. Dr. Mark Hyman with the Cleveland Clinic says eating the right fat can boost metabolism and weight loss.
Weight loss is not a math problem. It's a hormone problem and a metabolic problem. And when you eat fats, you turn on the right hormones. When you eat sugar and refined carbs, you turn on the wrong hormones and cause weight gain.
Dr. Hyman says sugar and refined carbohydrates are the real enemies when it comes to your health.
Most Americans need to shift their diet from the 152 pounds of sugar and 146 pounds of flour that they eat every year to a diet higher in good, healthy fats.
Dr. Mark Hyman with the Cleveland Clinic. Wishing you good health, I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and today is February 23rd. I'm sorry about that. It's 11:07 a.m., and this is Some Things About Money. The weather today is 40 degrees, a little bit of a light rain. Today we'll have periods of rain with a high near 37, east wind 11 to 14 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. Looks like it already started. Tonight we'll have more periods of rain with a low around 32, northeast wind 7 to 14 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation about 90%. Wednesday, rain is likely again before noon, and then again afternoon. Areas of fog are afternoon, high near 41. Northeast wind 5 to 8 miles per hour, becoming calm in the afternoon. 100% chance of precipitation. And Wednesday night showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. Low around 40. Southeast wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Again, 100% chance of precipitation. And Thursday, more rain, cloudy with a high near 54, winds 6 to 10 miles per hour, and chance of precipitation 40%. And Thursday night, more rain before midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 30. New precipitation amounts less than a tenth of an inch possible.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Heide & Associates, located in Annandale, New Jersey. And you're listening to Some Things About Money. I want to thank you for tuning in on this, well, it's beginning to be a damp, rainy, misty type of day. Kind of like how the markets are right now. Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Joe. Thanks for asking.
Glad to hear that. Well, we're going to talk a little bit this morning about some of the recent reports that came out. We had consumer confidence numbers for February, we had Case-Shiller home prices, and you know, we're going to talk a little bit about why stocks and oil dance together, because we've been hearing why there hasn't been very much divergence between what the S&P 500 is doing and the price of oil. We're going to talk a little bit more about investing with market volatility in mind, what we should be doing there, and then Tony and I are going to be talking about by the numbers, some little interesting tidbits that, well, I guess you can look at it from a historical perspective or dollars or looking back on the way things were back in the day, but we'll have some fun with that. But in the meantime, I think we ought to start off by getting an update on what's been happening in the markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently at 16,446. That's down 173 points. That's pretty much the low of the day. The S&P 500 is at 1923, down 22.2, and the NASDAQ down 59.46, or 1.3%. Looking at Europe, the FTSE is down 66, 1.1%. The DAX down 128 points, or 1.34%, and the CAC 40 down 48, down 1.12%. Oil, that divergent little thing. Oil is at $31.85 an ounce now, currently down $1.54 a barrel, not an ounce. If it were an ounce, gold people would be jumping off of ledges right about now. And speaking of gold, gold is currently at $1,225 an ounce. That is up $15, or 1.24%. And the 10-year Treasury is slipping as the global rally has faded. It is currently down to a yield of 1.7329%. So that's where we stand right now as far as the market update. Mentioned the Consumer Confidence Survey. Well, that came out this morning, and unfortunately, you know, kind of like what's been going on politically in the country, a lot of people are upset with the jobs numbers and the state of our country, the economy in general, political correctness, and I guess how else can you explain this whole Donald Trump phenomenon? Well, consumer confidence is also in decline, at least in the month of February. Key measures of attitudes on Main Street have fallen more than expected in February, according to the Consumer Confidence Survey today. The index hit 92.2 in February from a revised 97.8 in January. Now, the Conference Board said that's lower than the 97.3 expected by analysts, and actually the lowest level since July, according to Thomson Reuters. Consumers' assessments of current conditions have weakened primarily due to a less favorable assessment of business conditions, and that came from Lynn Franco, Director of Economic Indicators at the Conference Board. Consumers' short-term outlook grew more pessimistic, consumers expressing greater apprehension about business conditions, their personal financial situation, and, to a lesser degree, labor market prospects. Now, the trade organization's monthly survey measures consumers' short- and long-term outlooks for jobs, incomes, and business conditions. So not all of that happy. On the better news front, we had some Case-Shiller S&P 500 numbers for December. Home prices went higher. They rose 5.7% in December. Now, home prices in major metropolitan areas did continue to rise in December, though the gains came in slightly behind expectations. The S&P Case-Shiller 20 City Home Price Composite increased 5.7% from the same time of the previous year versus analyst estimates for the 5.9% increase. While home prices continue to rise, the pace is slowing a bit, according to David M. Blitzer, Managing Director and Chairman of the Index Committee at S&P Dow Jones Indices. Seasonally adjusted, Miami, well, they had the lowest prices this month. They were actually lower than last, and the 10 other cities saw similar increases than last month. The best year-over-year gains continue to be centered in Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, and Denver. Home prices were up 11.4% in Portland in December, while San Francisco and Denver both saw better than 10% gains. Now, the Case-Shiller U.S. National Home Price Index, which measures all nine U.S. Census divisions, was up 5.4% year-over-year in December. So things getting a little bit better in the housing market. So let's see. Research. Well, You know, we're taking a look at yesterday's gains. That had put the S&P 500 index marginally above its 50-day moving average. The last time the index was above its 50-day was at the end of November. And January's terrible start and the new 52-week low set in the S&P 500 earlier this month, global markets appear to be staging a modest recovery from the depths of this year's selling pressure. Additionally, yesterday's strong performance across global equity markets seemed to have built some momentum off of last week's best weekly performance of the year. Across the U.S. as well as parts of Europe and Asia, broad-based indices were actually flashing some green over the last 4 weeks. The S&P 500 index was higher by 2%, while value stocks within the index have been up about 3.5%. U.S. S&P small and mid-cap indices are also higher between 2 and 3%. Much of the recent momentum has been centered in the U.S. as contagion fears have subsided and perceived recession possibilities have declined. For example, the Dow Jones Transportation Average is higher by 9.5% over the last month, also indicating recession fears seem to have abated for the time being. Speaking sparking some of the largest moves higher in equity prices recently were solid reports on retail sales and CPI. Furthermore, oil has marched higher over recent weeks, and the dollar has slowed its climb, also positive contributions to investor sentiment. 8 of the 10 S&P industry sectors are positive over the last 4 weeks, with materials, telecom, utilities, and industrials all seeing gains of 5% or more. Across the pond, Europe remains mostly in the red. However, equities in the UK have posted a small gain over the last month, while the Eurozone is paring its losses. In Asia, the MSCI AC Asia Pacific Index, is higher by nearly 2% over the last 4 weeks. Additionally, Hong Kong and China mainland indices are higher by 2 to 3%, while Japan remains down roughly 5%. And that you can probably blame on the yen. Overall, sentiment has improved over the last month, and it is showing up in recent performance results. Although the pace of economic growth remains challenged and global monetary policy continues to be a wild card, investors have clearly become less sour on equities. So, not too bad. Let's see, looking at Asia overnight, in the Asia-Pacific, trading was weaker as the People's Bank of China announced a significant weaker yuan fixing and economic news was light. The lower yuan fixing represents the largest cut in 6 weeks and brought back to the forefront concerns about currency policy and the overall health of the Chinese economy. On the subject of currency, the yen continued to appreciate overnight against the euro and sterling pound, helping to propel the yen higher overnight were comments from the Bank of Japan as well as Japanese finance ministers indicating that the further stimulus is not likely to occur in the immediate future. So most Asian indices were lower by less than 1% overnight. So update on Asia, a little bit more of the same, but showing a bit of recovery. Europe, not so much. And here in the United States, well, looking at the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ, not at all. So, really ugly out there, although we have come off the lows. Dow Jones is down 168 points right now as we speak. And with all of that, as you can probably tell, I'm losing my voice. So we're going to take a break and listen to some commercials and pay some bills. You're listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
And we're back. Joe Patton with half a voice, certified financial planner with Patton Knight and Associates. And as I said, we're located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale, New Jersey, in the Gebhardt and Kiefer building. And that would be the brick building with the big American flag right out there on Route 31. Tony, we've had a lot of investment volatility, and you have to wonder what people are doing about it. Are they hiding under rocks? Are their advisors hiding under rocks? Well, you know, ups and downs in the market really are inevitable. And if you have a good financial advisors, like the ones we have at Patton Heidi & Associates, like we can help create a plan that may help weather market volatility. Now, your advisor can help you through questions many investors ask during uncertain markets. And some of those questions might be, well, what's behind the current market volatility? How long is it expected to last? Well, how can I determine if my tolerance for risk has changed? And what actions should I be taking to protect my investments or adjust my asset allocation? Now, markets don't move in a linear fashion, but instead move through periods of loss and gain. The gains you can realize over the long term, even through periods of market volatility, they could be one of your greatest investment allies. That doesn't always make volatile markets easy to take, however. Emotions can often play a big role in investing decisions, especially in down markets. The best strategy is to work with your financial advisor who can help you balance your goals and market conditions. The confidence you gain from knowing you have a game plan can really help you take emotions out of the equation and help you make the most out of market opportunities and protect your assets during periods of volatility. Consider these four defensive moves that can help you invest with an eye towards volatile markets. Number one, let diversification help you. Now, diversification is a simple yet powerful investment strategy to help reduce risk in your investment portfolio. Not only can you diversify across asset classes by purchasing stocks, bonds, and cash alternatives, you can diversify within a single asset class. For example, when investing in stocks, you can choose to invest in unrelated companies and industries or regions. This helps reduce the risk from any one investment and shore up your portfolio against market volatility. If one investment performs poorly, it may be offset by another investment that performs better. Another thing to consider would be your asset allocation. Asset allocation is designed to help you create a balanced portfolio of investments. Your age, risk tolerance, and investment goals are used to calculate what mix of stocks, bonds, cash, and other assets are best for you. Now, different types of assets carry different levels of risk and potential for return and typically don't respond to market conditions in the same way at the same time. For instance, when the return of one asset type is declining, the return of another may be growing, although there are no guarantees of that. If you own a variety of assets, a downturn in a single holding won't necessarily spell disaster for your entire portfolio. This has proven especially true in recent years, as the mix of asset classes to choose from has continually become more varied. For instance, emerging market stocks and bonds, high-yield bonds, real estate investment trusts, and master limited partnerships are now often part of a diversified portfolio. Using asset allocation, you identify the asset classes that are appropriate for you and decide the percentage of your investment dollars that should be allocated in each class. Third, Well, reconfirm your risk tolerance. Volatile markets, well, they naturally test investors. You may find that your stomach for risk has changed after going through recent market upheavals. That's only natural, and it's important to acknowledge your change in attitude so you can adjust your plan if needed. At the same time, don't overdo it. Keep in mind that you may need some growth-oriented investments in your portfolio to achieve your retirement planning goals. To determine if your risk tolerance has changed, ask yourself what your goals are for your investments. Do you want an aggressive growth, or would you rather avoid losing money? Perhaps you're somewhere in between. Find out where you stand taking a risk assessment calculator test. There's quizzes all over the internet for this. Your advisor can discuss questions like this with you and help you reevaluate your risk profile. Once you understand your risk tolerance, the two of you can adjust your portfolio. 4, use a disciplined buying strategy. Dollar cost averaging can help. This tactic is really designed to put market volatility to work for you over the long term. With a strategy, you can invest a set amount at regular intervals to buy shares of a particular stock or fund over time. You buy more shares when the price is lower and fewer shares when the price is higher. Over time, the average cost of your shares will usually be lower than the average price of those shares, and you avoid the risk of trying to time the market. Although it's tempting to buy stocks when the market is going up and sell when the market moves down, individual investors rarely get the timing right. With dollar cost averaging, you can move closer to your long-term investment goals regardless of market highs or lows. So, you know, that's sage advice for anyone who is investing, especially for the long term. Now, if you're a millennial out there and you have your first or second job and you're putting money to work in your 401k, you want to make sure that those payroll deductions going into that retirement savings plan continue. And during periods of market volatility, you may actually want to try to accelerate that because, quite frankly, buying when the market's on sale is the best thing you can do to build your wealth over the long term. You need to be a contrarian about that. When people in the media are doing the best to get you nervous and jerky over what's going on out there, you have to realize it's really nothing more than a sale, a huge sale on quality merchandise that in the long run is going to benefit you based upon what your time frame, your goals, and your risk tolerance happen to be. And let's not forget tax. Putting money into a 401k on a pre-tax basis will save you a little bit every year, a lower amount that you'll have to write to Uncle Sam come April 15th. Now, of course, on the back end, the tax will come due when the money comes out, but during your high or peak earning years, getting a little bit of a tax break isn't the worst thing you can do for yourself. Let's take a little bit of a look at what the markets are doing right now. As we mentioned earlier, we came off our lows, but now we've gone back to new lows. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 180 points to 16,438. The S&P 500 is at 1922. That's down 22.82 or 1.17%. And the NASDAQ is at 4509. That is down 61.23 or 1.34%. So what the markets giveth, the markets taketh away. FTSE in Europe, still under pressure as commodities waver. We're looking at the FTSE at 59.59, down a little bit over 78 points or 1.3%. The DAX is down 154.24, 1.61%. The CAC 40 in Paris, down 60 points or 1.4%. Oil continues to be lower. And really, there's doubts that that output cap is going to erode that huge glut that we have in reserves right now. And you know, with Iran and Iraq and other countries bringing more production online, one has to wonder whether or not they're going to honor any negotiated reduction in output. The history of OPEC living up to those agreements are very, very, very sketchy at best. But oil is down $1.60 a barrel to $31.79. Gold is up $15.60 an ounce to $12.25.70. That's 1.29%. And the 10-year Treasury continues to slip a little bit lower, currently at 1.7398%. So that's where we stand right now as far as the updates on the market. Let's see, what's going on in the world of politics today? We believe we have the caucuses in Nevada. So is that something that you're paying attention to at home, Tony?
A little bit. I do watch.
Maybe you can get Emma and Tommy to start paying attention to it so we can turn them into good little fiscal conservatives like their mom.
Tommy says he likes watching the debates.
Yeah. Is that because he's waiting for the blood to flow, or is it because he's actually interested in what they have to say?
I'm not sure. I was surprised to see that he wrote that on one of his papers at school. Kind of funny.
Well, there's all sorts of interesting things coming out of Washington these days, and I was just noticing that the administration is trying to push for legislation through the courts and also through the courts to change our voting requirements. They would like to see undocumented be able to vote here in the United States elections. So, how many do we have, not just the legal ones, but the illegal ones? Does that mean we have another 12-plus million people who have a vested interest in, you know, staying in the country or perhaps being eligible for entitlements? I wonder who they would vote for. Is there any doubt? It's a little bit self-serving in a political year to actually say that, especially when our borders aren't secured and, you know, we could have anybody walking across. Not only do we give them the right to vote, they may be actually looking to do us some physical harm as well. So not a good thing. So anyway, we're at the bottom of the hour. I think we're going to listen to a couple of more commercials and maybe get an update on the weather, and we'll catch you on the other side.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
The Utah people will grow to love the Trump family.
Donald Trump's campaign is in full swing in the Beehive State. That's Utah Wants Trump organizer Don Pay saying the Trump family is brilliant and their message is resonating with voters. State Senator Stuart Adams, Sandy Chamber of Commerce leader Stan Parrish, and State Senate Majority Leader Ralph Orkeland were among those appearing with the billionaire candidate at the state capitol yesterday. Trump leads significantly in national polls, but he falls in third place in Utah in the latest poll by UtahPolicy.com. Police officers are on heightened alert in Cincinnati after personal information was leaked to the internet. The hacktivists from Anonymous published the names, addresses, and phone numbers of 50 officers to protest last week's deadly shooting of a black man by white officers. Weather forecasters say strong tornadoes could tear across the Gulf Coast today. A powerful storm is likely to set off severe thunderstorms and dangerous tornadoes. Police in Kalamazoo, Michigan say the Uber driver accused of killing six people in a shooting spree this weekend has admitted that he, quote, took people's lives. More on that story in just a moment. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Kid, this facility is like a ship. So how do I keep us on course without micromanaging every detail? Easy, with Grainger. Grainger's online tools help give me the visibility I need. I can shop, order, and manage all our activity. Oversee purchases, control costs, all while you guys get to order what you need when you need it. I run a tight ship, kid. I run it with Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Learn more at Grainger.com/online purchasing. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Any Jane Doe can tell you that Geico could help you save, but since money talks, we just ask the savings instead.
Greetings and some salutations. I'm Jane's Money, and I never knew my self-worth until Jane switched her car insurance at Geico.com. Those 15 minutes built me up to real savings. Geico's been helping customers save money like me for over 75 years. So take that to the bank. And namaste.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I just realized I had the wrong microphone on. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. And we're going to do a quick weather break. It's still 40 degrees out there with slight rain. Chance of precipitation today is 100%. There'll be continued periods of rain throughout the day with a low near 32 tonight. Northeast winds 7 to 14 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation tonight is 90%. With new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. On Wednesday, we'll have continued rain before noon as well as in the afternoon. Areas of fog afternoon. Highs near 41 degrees. Northeast wind 5 to 8 miles per hour, becoming calmer in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation for tomorrow is 100%. And tomorrow night, Wednesday, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain, low around 40 degrees. Southeast wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. And again on Thursday, chance of showers, only 40% chance this time, with a high near 54 degrees. Southwest wind 6 to 10 miles per hour, and new precipitation amounts of less than a tenth of an inch possible. Thursday night with continued showers before midnight, mostly cloudy with a low around 30 degrees. Chance falls to 30% chance of precipitation. We'll turn it over to Joe.
And we're back, and you're listening to Some Things About Money. I think we're all brain dead or voice dead here this morning. Yeah, sitting here at the Chamber Radio Station. And, yeah, we're sort of waiting for, we have an ELC breakfast tomorrow at Beaverbrook, and we have the Chamber Dinner Dance Annual Meeting coming up on Friday evening. And, you know, we're just kind of hanging in there, hoping that this rain forecast doesn't come to fruition, because we would like to see nice, starry, clear skies without it being too cold come Friday night. So, Tony was asking me about the Apple phone thing and the lawsuit, and hard to say national security issues aren't at least as important as our individual rights to privacy. But I don't know that there's an easy answer to this, whether it be one phone, which could be used as a slippery slope by setting a precedent for other jurisdictions who may want to access phones of suspects in the future, or whether or not we should look at this as a one-off. I know I was watching a program last night. Charles Kronheimer was talking about how easy it would be if they didn't have to go through all of this thing publicly, and the government probably could have made a request of Apple and said, look, here's the phone. Just get the information off of the phone. Give us a written transcript, and then you take the phone back and just trash it. And nobody would have been the wiser, and we would have found out if there's any usable information on it, and there wouldn't be this big uproar about rights under the Constitution. But one has to wonder whether or not Apple is using this as a marketing ploy, and whether or not the government is using this as a way to generate more power over the population. So I don't know what the answer is. It's a very, very difficult question to answer. I think there's merit on both sides of the conversation. Tony, we were talking about why are stocks declining when oil goes down? Well, why do stocks and oil dance together? That is a very good question, and a lot of folks have been scratching their heads about the recent high correlation between stocks and oil, and it has inspired some high-profile musing. Ben Bernanke posts that both stocks and oil are reaching, some crescendo. They're reacting to slower global growth. Howard Marks recently told Bloomberg colleagues on television that any correlation between stocks and oil is proof that investors simply don't understand the relationship between the two. But the focus on the recent waltz of stocks and oil misses a larger concern, a multi-decade shift in correlations across risk assets that threatens to crack the foundation of portfolio theory. In the abstract, a high correlation between stocks and oil and commodities generally should be the exception and not the rule. Lower commodity prices translate into lower costs and higher earnings for all but commodity producers, and higher earnings translate into higher stock prices. An obvious exception is a slow growth environment that threatens both commodity prices and sales, but that would be cyclical by definition, and any resulting spike in correlation between stocks and commodities should be fleeting. At first blush, the long-term correlation between stocks and commodities appear to confirm that the two are not highly correlated. The correlation between the S&P 500 index and the S&P GSCI Total Return Index has been 0.17 since 1988, and that was the first year for which data is available for all indexes referenced. A closer look, however, reveals a different reality. The correlation between stocks and commodities has trended higher for two decades, and the correlation today would be unrecognizable to an observer two decades ago. Now, you can visualize this affinity by looking at changes in the 10-year trailing correlation between stocks and commodities, which has shifted from a negative 0.2 in 1997 to 0.5 today. This move of 0.7 in the correlation over two decades is not consistent with the theory, however, however intuitively appealing, that stocks and commodities don't dance in lockstep except on rare occasions. These heightened correlations aren't limited to U.S. stocks and commodities. The same upward trend can be seen in correlations across all risk assets. Thus, all you have to do is just take a look at the 10-year trailing correlations in 1997 for the asset classes that we're discussing. And in every case, the correlations are meaningfully higher today. And in the case, they're going to trend higher. And this whole trend has been about 20 years in the making. So what does all of this mean, and what does it have to do with portfolio theory? I know this is kind of in the weeds for most people, but you know, for those people who are looking for some of the details, it is relevant. Ever since Harry Markowitz introduced modern portfolio theory in the 1950s, investors have relied on correlations to build diversified portfolios of uncorrelated or less than highly correlated assets. And the reason they do this is to minimize volatility and diversify your risk. The implicit assumptions in the model, of course, is that correlations are stable and that historical correlations are indicative of future correlations. Now, we doubt that anyone today still believes that correlations are entirely stable. The potential for chaos was laid bare during the financial crisis in 2008 when correlations famously spiked across risk assets and diversification consequently failed to insulate portfolios when it was most needed. Now, that experience really popularized the notion that correlations break down during periods of market stress, and some investors have modified Markowitz's original modern portfolio theory by creating two sets of correlations, one for sunny days and others for days like today or rainy days. But even a modified approach to modern portfolio theory may not be enough. Just as with stocks and commodities, the upward shift of correlations across other risk assets for two decades belies the notion that correlations are stable except during occasional market storms. Affinities have heightened even in calmer market moments. A shrewd and mature takeaway from this is that the future course of correlations will be anything but predictable, and it is not clear that modern portfolio theory will help market participants find a roadmap for navigating that reality. This doesn't mean that diversification is useless. As we talked about earlier, it's a very valuable tool for investors. You don't need fancy models to see that owning more assets is safer than owning fewer, even if those assets don't zig and zag the way you hoped. Nor does it mean that valuations are doomed to uniformity across risk assets. Indeed, rising correlations, the current environment offers a variety of valuation plays. But it does mean that it is time to rethink correlations when examining markets and making investment decisions. Or you can hope for a return to past patterns and brace yourself for the consequences of that kind of magical thinking. Fact of the matter is, we are still in uncharted waters, primarily because of the Fed's easy money policy. We're coming out of it, but we don't have any historical data to show us what this road is going to look like. You know, recently we've seen a lot of volatility in equity markets, and you know, we suspect that that's going to continue for most of the remaining 2016 market year. However, whether or not we still see the same correlation between oil and equity markets really is up for grabs. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with production in Iran and Iraq. We don't know what Russia is going to do. We have no idea what OPEC policy might be. Perhaps they will do something that will stabilize output. We have no idea how the global economy is going to react to these prices. We have no idea what's going to happen in the U.S. markets. Some say that in another 5 or 10 years, we're going to be the major producer in the world because of our shale oil. All of this is going to have an impact at some point on markets in general. So we shall see. But one thing is for certain, modern portfolio theory is not as, let's just say, guaranteed or accurate as we once thought it was. So that was a lot of in-the-weeds stuff, Tony, I'll tell you. But we do have some listeners out there that really get into this stuff. Other people are just like, well, just tell me what to buy. Well, we don't want to do that because we don't know who you are, what your goals happen to be, your risk tolerance, your time frame, your tax situation, or all of the other things that have to be considered simultaneously to that one very simple question. One of the things we happen to do know right now is that the markets aren't doing all that great. Dow Jones is still down 177 points. The S&P is down 22. The NASDAQ is down 42. Europe, not looking good. Down 1.27. FTSE 1.49. Down DAX, down 1.35. CAC 40. And that evil oil price that we were talking about, $31.82 a barrel, that's down $1.57. So that's where we stand with all of that fun stuff. And I think what we're going to do is take our last break of the show. And when we come back, Tony and I are going to be talking about, some things about numbers.
Rob Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And we're back. This is Some Things About Money, and now we'll do By the Numbers.
We love By the Numbers because it gives Tony an opportunity to pick. It gives Tony an opportunity for By the Numbers to pick all the fun stuff that she's interested in. So, Tony, where would you like to start?
All righty. Did you know that since 1950, there have been 57 different 10-year investment periods?
Wow, okay.
57. All right. So the S&P 500 produced an average annual return of less than 7% during 14 of those 57 periods, which is equals to about 25% of the time. 19 of those periods resulted in an average return of at least 14%.
Okay.
Pretty interesting, huh?
Well, that's why long-term counts, because during the course of those 10-year periods, you had any number of events that would have created a downdraft in the market indices. But you know, you have to take a look at it over a longer-term period in order to get the idea why staying in the markets, why dollar-cost averaging works for you. What else we got?
Let's see. Okay, the 10-year Treasury note. On February 11th of this year, it fell to 1.66%, which was down from 2.27% as of the end of the year 2015. The all-time low yield of the 10-year note was 1.39% on July 24th, 2010. But for 50 years between 1962 and the end of August in 2011, the 10-year Treasury note did not close below 2% on any one trading day.
Hmm.
And yet now we're below 2% twice at least.
Yeah, and that could be attributed to, you know, the interest rate policy by the Fed ever since we had the recession in 2008. Like I mentioned earlier, we are in uncharted waters and we have no idea how much lower interest rates might go. You know, are we in a deflationary period? Some, like David Joy, have talked about how he sees inflation increasing at an increasing rate. Gary Schilling doesn't agree with him. So there's a lot of data to support, you know, both ends of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
All right. You were talking about oil prices a little bit ago, right?
Yes.
Did you know Alaska receives 72% of its state tax revenue through taxes levied on oil and gas producers? 72%.
I wonder how that would play out with some of the other areas like, you know, the Dakotas or, you know, even some of the natural gas areas like Marcellus Shale, Pennsylvania, you know, where I happen to sleep at night, has been generating a lot of tax revenue. And unfortunately, the governor in Pennsylvania wants to raise taxes on those producers at a time where they're under extreme pressure. Price-wise, and many of them are being forced to shut down, mm-hmm. whether it be by outside market influences or by some of the regulations imposed by your administration. I haven't seen exactly what the number of unemployed that have been created as the result of these things, but I know it's in the thousands. And hopefully, you know, that will change shortly. I'll give you a by the numbers. Tony, did you know that when you take a look at Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, Hillary made even more money in speaking fees, speaking to UBS, Goldman Sachs, and some of the others, than her husband Bill did. Goldman Sachs in New York paid Bill $200,000 for a speech in June of 2013 and paid Hillary $225,000 in a speech last October, actually in October of that year. So in the same year, Hillary was worth $25,000 more than Bill. I guess, though, that they were providing those fees out of the kindness and the goodness of their hearts because, as we all know, corporations are not evil creatures. They're very good, upstanding citizens in their community, and they like to take a look at nice people like Bill and Hillary and provide them with about $425,000 between the two of them for 2013 to get up there and, you know, just tell them what nice people they are. I, of course, we don't have the transcripts of the speeches, but no one gives you that kind of money without expecting something in return. And, you know, the pundits who spin this in the media, do they really think that we're that stupid?
What could she really be saying that's worth that much money?
Well, I don't know, because she won't release the transcripts of her speeches. She controls them. And I was watching someone on MSNBC the other night spinning his head off about why it's so unfair that she be asked to do this. And, you know, she's released all of these emails and she's done all of these other things. And the question had to do, no, it wasn't MSNBC, it was CNN. The question had to do specifically with the transcripts of the speeches to Wall Street bankers. Because, of course, Bernie Sanders has been hammering her on this, and she's talking about how tough she is. And, well, I guess the proof is in the pudding, or in this case, the proof would be in the transcripts, because her own words would be right there. There would be no Republican conspiracy, and nobody would be spinning anything. we would know exactly what she said and perhaps what she promised to all of the Wall Street bankers that have, you know, let's just say, graced her with hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last couple of years. But then again, that just goes to show you that these bankers at Wall Street certainly are not evil people. They're very kind people that wanted to help the Clintons out at a time where they were close to bankruptcy. I'm sorry, folks. I know we have a lot of Hillary supporters out there, and I don't mean to disparage her character. I'm just talking about the facts of the matter, and I'll leave it up to you to determine whether or not you want to pay attention to them. So let's take one more, and then I think we'll wrap it up.
All right. It looks like Americans are increasing their credit card debt. In the last 10 months,
again,
through the end of December last year, credit card debt increased to $935 billion after peaking at $1 trillion as of April in 2008. The global 2008 global financial crisis motivated Americans to trim their credit card debt to $832 billion as of April 30th.
A drop in the bucket.
So it went back up again.
Well, so it went down. I think people are, you know, they did take some time after 2008 to pay off their existing debt. And now that it's down, they're looking at current interest rates and they're saying, hey, you know, maybe I can go out and buy some stuff and I'll finance it at these low interest rates. And, you know, maybe they're using their credit cards and, you know, there's still banks out there that are sending you those letters in the mail offering you balance transfers at 0% for a small flat fee. And people take advantage of that. And quite frankly, if, you know, you're good at managing your cash flow and you are good at managing your debt service, not the worst thing in the world to do. Like I said, if you're good at that, unfortunately, most Americans are not. And if you want to know whether or not that's something you should look at, you should talk to your financial advisor. But you know, we normally do not encourage our clients to take on additional debt. We don't happen to think most debt is very good for you, although there are some types that are, like a mortgage on your house. Anyway, I want to thank you for listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton with Tony Clark. We are with Patton, Heidi, and Associates, again, located at 1318 Route 31 North in Annandale. And if you have a question or if you'd like to just chat with us about your financial life, you can give us a call at 908-713-6600. So, and Tony, you want to talk to us about where else they could find us?
Yes. Patton, Heidi, and Associates has launched their first Facebook page last week, I believe. So check us out, Patton, Heidi, and Associates on Facebook.com.
And like us.
And like us. And you'll be able to see all the updates about people in our office and the things that we're doing for this upcoming year.
Yes, and we aren't just evil money mongers. We're actually decent folks. And because we believe in what we do, and we also believe in what goes on here in Hunterdon County. So we like to support all of the business people here in the county. That's what the chamber is about. And I would encourage you, the residents of the county, to get out there and make sure that you do buy Hunterdon and buy often.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
The Utah people will grow to love the Trump family.
Donald Trump's campaign is in full swing in the Beehive State. That's Utah Wants Trump organizer Don Pay saying the Trump family is brilliant and their message is resonating with voters. State Senator Stuart Adams, Sandy Chamber of Commerce leader Stan Parrish, and State Senate Majority Leader Ralph Orkeland were among those appearing with the billionaire candidate at the state capitol yesterday. Trump leads significantly in national polls, but he falls in third place in Utah in the latest poll by UtahPolicy.com. Police officers are on heightened alert in Cincinnati after personal information was leaked to the internet. The hacktivists from Anonymous published the names, addresses, and phone numbers of 50 officers to protest last week's deadly shooting of a black man by white officers. Weather forecasters say strong tornadoes could tear across the Gulf Coast today. A powerful storm is likely to set off severe thunderstorms.